Hello, everybody. The transfer portal is closed, but the live chat and the comment sections are wide open. Hop in with the broskies as we break down the latest and greatest in college basketball. Recording live from somewhere, this is One and Done.
Get out the insurance cards, get out the copays. The office is open, my friends. Brought to you by DrRoto.com.
It's time once again for everybody to come aboard that Green Screens Media train. This is One and Done, your fast break of college basketball information. And we are powered by the world's, the galaxy's, dare I say, the universe's greatest website. And that would be DrRoto.com. My name is Jay Heinrich, your sometimes humble host. I happen to be the conductor of the aforementioned Green Screens Media Train. Find me on X at Dr. William Cannon. Follow me and I will smash that follow back button. That's what I do. That is what I do. I'm here tonight with two of the absolute best in the business to do it. If you didn't know, going three wide tonight with my two broskies in basketball, starting with El Capitan. Himself, the captain of the Green Screens Media ship. He does the ship. I do the train. We'll find out what Eric does in a minute. The OG Money Mike. The captain of the ship. It's Mike Holland. Mike, what to do?
This ship or train or whatever, it's off to a fast start tonight. But you know what's slowing down? Well, I say that. Portal season kind of slowing down, like I'm trickling through. I mean, there's not that many guys in our top 100 boys left to commit, but we just had a batch of some guys that entered our top 100 as well. So just sent that over. If you haven't checked it out, DrRoto.com. It's got our top 300 transfer big board. That thing will grow by probably this time next week to 500. So check it out. We are, me and Nipsey Hussle, putting in some work, making sure that thing is nice and ready for you all to view.
Nipsey Hussle, our guy, at The Real Napier. Doesn't have any furniture to put together anymore, so he's probably just chilling and hanging out. So shout out to our guy, Nipsey Hussle, our guy Chris, that's host this show sometimes. And every once in a while, him and I will just swap being the prettiest person on the panel. But either way, that's neither here nor there. As we get to the man, I mean, you know him. And you know him because he might be last in the intros. But he's first in your hearts. The Baron of Bread of Green Screens Media. Find him in those Twitter streets at Fantasy Nav. He's Eric. The Blue. It's Mr. Eric Roma. Hey, man, what's happening?
Man, we live in out here large. The transfer portal window to enter is officially closed, so we now know which players are consisting in that pool. And we are chugging right along to several milestones. Mike mentioned already 300 players on the big board. I believe that 500 is coming next, then 5,000. Then he's going to start ranking future players that will be entering the transfer portal in the 2025, 26, 27 season. This board is never ending. It will grow on forever, as will this GSM ship. This ship is actually a rocket ship. We are going to the moon. I think as we sit right now, we are like 9 subscribers away from hitting that 1,000 mark. Maybe we can get there tonight. A big part of the way that we can get there are all the breadheads just like you, just like our guy Chris Napier, hopping up in that comment section. Let us know how you living tonight. Let us know that your mama still loves you and says that you're a handsome devil. Whatever's on your mind, any questions you might have about the portal season, one of the best ways to contribute to the GSM universe is jumping into that chat section. And Joe takes note. Joe Cornett. Chris is the man. Asking you shall receive. Appreciate you hopping in there, Joe. Chris is the man. It's always a little lonely when he's out there building furniture or doing God knows what else.
Getting his car detailed, getting ready for life. You know, our guys out there in the streets doing all the good work, especially on that big board that Mike was referring to over at drroto.com. Make sure you hit all those buttons, do your parts like Chris and Joe did. Get in the live chat. If you're not watching live, hop in that comment section anyway afterwards. Let us know what you think about some of these moves. We're covering Kentucky. We're covering some recent commitments tonight. We're doing some last-minute entrance into the portal, and then we're getting out of here. So make sure all along the way you let us know what you think in that live chat or in that comment section after you hit those like and subscribe buttons. Let's get right to it, gents. Kentucky. I mean, are we really going to start with anything else other than Kentucky? I mean,
nope.
Coach Pope is out there doing his thing. He's putting together the roster. Like, I mean, we've seen this before. This is starting to look where he's trying to do more of an assembly of an all-star roster, honestly, just trying to find, not worrying about necessarily the best fits, but some of these guys definitely do fit his system. A couple pieces to the backcourt recently. Eric, one guy that we expected, and the other guy was sort of out of left field. So tell the people what's cooking out in Lexington.
Man, clearly Coach Pope is cooking, just slaying through this portal, goes and adds two more big names to his backcourt, technically a backcourt and a wing, right? But starting with Kerr Creasa, the former West Virginia, former Arizona Wildcat guard. He's sitting at number 83 on Mike's big board, 6'3", 185 pounds. Last year for those Mountaineers, played 23 games, about 34 minutes per game. Gave him 11 points, 2.5 boards, and almost 5 assists. Shot a whopping 42% from range. So a lot of things to like about his game. Enigmatic is a great way to describe Mr. Creasa, and he's definitely an interesting add, right? Like, clearly very talented on the offensive end. He can really shoot and get his teammates involved. Brings a ton of energy, right? Just like one of those floor general types that really just, you know, stirs the drink, if you will. But that energy, it is a two-sided coin. It can lead to some turnovers, can lead to some on-court antics, right? So always a fun ride with Kerr Creasa. And you also worry about his individual defense, right? Like, his defensive rating ballooned to 116.2 last year. Still produced after Coach Bob Huggins being fired right before the season. You know, he started the year suspended, right? So, you know, there was definitely some turmoil that he managed to rise up and overcome. And there wasn't a whole lot of talent around him, right? So should be really interesting to see what Kerr Creasa can do on this very talented Kentucky roster next year, a roster where he'll be running out next to the number 114 player on Mike's big board, Kobe Brea, the former Dayton wing, 6'6", 205, played 33 games, about 29 minutes per game, 11 points, 4 boards. And if you thought 42% from downtown was nice, he'll raise you. He was shooting 50% from behind the arc. So obviously, dude is an absolute bucket from beyond the arc. You know, excellent on the catch and shoot, but he can also he can get his own shot off the dribble pretty well, right? So, like, you know, obviously if he's shooting 30% from downtown, pretty incredible year shooting. You know, you add to that the fact that he rarely turned the ball over. You know, he slashed 51% from the field, again, 50% from deep, 87% from the charity stripe. These are all things that have a ton of value in today's game and in Coach Pope's new look Kentucky system. So lots to like about Brea coming in, his length, his IQ, really solid defender, right? Like, you know, just a couple weeks ago, there were a lot of question marks on this roster, and now we're looking at a unit top to bottom that is one of the best in the conference, if not potentially one of the best in the country. So this turnaround, the way that he's built out this roster, has been phenomenal. These two names are chief among them.
Mike, what do you think about what Coach Pope is doing out there? I mean, obviously, I wish Creasa, with all of that energy that he has, I wish he would be able to funnel it into a lot more positivity, you know, in the long term. But what's your take on Creasa and Brea making their way out to Lexington?
So initial thoughts when I saw this and sent you guys a text was like, this is not really the guy that I want to see with the ball in his hands a ton for, you know, for Kentucky and kind of the talent that's around him. He takes a lot of bad shots. Now, obviously, he's a good shooter. But then you start looking at it, you look at Pope's offense, like last year, I mean, it kind of went through Ali Khalifa, the big man who kind of facilitated, you know, I would say half the time for them. Dallin Hall, I think he's still more of a traditional point guard. But yeah, this is a real interesting one. I don't want to put my foot in the mouth right now, but like I'm worried about this Kurt Carissa deal. A lot of Kentucky fans I'm seeing, at least on Twitter, think that Lamont Butler, like Carissa is going to come off the bench. There's no way that's going to happen. Like Lamont Butler is not a true point guard. He's a combo guard that can handle the ball and can pass a little bit. Kurt Carissa is a point guard that loves to shoot. So while, you know, a lot of this offense is probably going to go through Amari Williams from the elbow on dribble handoffs and, you know, different action and cuts, flexes and things like that. I don't mind it if Carissa is able to play more of a stable role where he's more of a catch and shoot guy, kind of limits his turnovers and things like that. But if he's going to be a guy that's going to have his ball in the hands and facilitating, making a lot of reads, I worry a little bit about that. You look at the bigs that they've assembled, right? Like you've got Carr who can really shoot it. Obviously Amari Williams and Brandon Garrison are going to do their damage, you know, inside. Amari Williams can do some of his damage from on the elbow facilitating. But yeah, it's an interesting take, Jay, because Kurt Carissa is like one of those dudes where it's like, you just don't know what you're going to get. And consistency, right, plays a big part of this in March. like I don't want my lead guard or someone, you know, that's going to just take terrible shots in March. I don't want him turning the ball over. But there's times when he looks like a phenomenal player. So, Jay, like any thoughts on this? Obviously, the Brea ad is awesome. I mean, he's a shooter. Like, you can't have enough shooting. He's definitely a great piece here. But the Carissa one's the one that's just kind of like, we'll see if this works, man. I'm a little nervous about it.
Brea being the best three-point shooter in the country, you can't really – it speaks for itself. I think Kurt Carissa, a coach looks at a guy like Kurt Carissa with the talent that they know is there, and this is like the ultimate – as a coach, like a coach thinking, I can fix him. Like, I can fix him. I can take Kurt Carissa. And he may not be asked to do that at Sun and Pope system. He may not have to be one of the main distributors. And hopefully, like, he can just do his thing. And, like, I don't think that that's the key to success for Pope. I hope he can do a little bit more of – yeah, I just – it's interesting. I like Kurt Carissa. I've liked Kurt Carissa's game for a while. We all have.
He's been a point guard on a number one seed, right? Right. Like, I mean, it's not like, right. But did those number one seeds do anything?
Is he built for March as a point guard?
Yeah, question, exactly.
Right? Like, that's the question, and that's what we'll have to find out. You know. So we got some comments here in the live chat, which we are loving. It's on fire, just like Brea from three. So let's start right there with RL. RL, great show, guys. I never catch you live, but watch it every episode. I have a question for the portal experts. How many dudes are left uncommitted? Kentucky needs a dude, a bucket getter, a legit number one. RL, I love that take. Mike, on your big board over there at drroto.com, who are some of those guys at the top, like those dudes, those bucket getters that you could see, you know, maybe being linked to Kentucky? Or do you think that that's in the cards for Coach Pope?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at it, our top 50 only has 14 players left uncommitted. Of the top guys, like Davon Smith, he pretty much ruled out Kentucky, if I remember correctly. That's the guy that I thought they really needed to get, someone like him. Just an awesome facilitator, can shoot it. Number three on our big board, obviously. Kadari Richmond, it looks like this is shaping up to be kind of a weird battle. Like Oklahoma's in it, St. John's is in it. Coleman Hawkins, we don't really know what's going to happen with him. Omir's been linked to St. John's as well. Big Cliff is visiting North Carolina. That seems like a perfect match. I mean, you're talking about somebody that they need a point. You know, I get a comment here saying, I think the reason most of us think Butler's the point guard is because our most trusted insider told us that's the plan right now. Right. But Lamont Butler, like his natural game is not he's not a traditional point guard. So I don't like that. As of right now, I think he starts at the two. I think you have to, with this team, you have to start Kurakurisa at the one. He's just more of a traditional point guard, someone that can, you know, kind of open up your game. Lamont Butler's more of a defensive stalwart. So Great Osabor was the thought, right? But it looks like he's looking elsewhere, potentially go to Washington and follow Danny Sprinkle there. The one guy, though, Chaz Lanier, ranked 29th on our big board. I think I've seen on Twitter, like, he's following a bunch of the Kentucky dudes. This guy's an absolute scorer. We profiled him the other day. I mean, 20 points per game, 5 rebounds from North Florida, shot 44% from three, a guy that can get it from, not, you know, Brea's more of an outside catch and shoot type guy. He can dribble it a little bit, but this is more of a dynamic guy that can get into the basket, get to the basket, and he can shoot the three, open up the entire offense. I feel like if Chaz Lanier goes to Kentucky and they get maybe a point guard, you know, that a little more of a facilitator, it doesn't even need to be a big name, but just someone steady. Kind of like a Michael O'Connell. I know Michael O'Connell's going back to North Carolina State, but like Michael O'Connell at the end of the year, he was playing like 35 minutes a game for North Carolina State because he was making the right plays and getting it to the right guys. It wasn't like he was scoring 20 points per game or even 10 points per game, but making the right plays, absolutely key. So it's not always important to get the top guys at the very top of the board. Obviously, you want the most talented players, but sometimes it's about fit. So we'll see what Kentucky does with their last few roster spots. But I am nervous about Kurakurisa. Their backcourt is a little nerve-wracking because, Jay, you know how important March is with guards. It's just, I mean, at the end of the day, it's the biggest part of college basketball. So we'll see what they do. But I hope that that answers your question there, RL.
Yeah, thanks for hopping in the live chat, RL. Absolutely. And we're glad you're able to catch us live and hop in there and do that. So. Always good to hear from you. Joe asking again, best potential pickup for Kentucky in the point guard position. It's already on the campus, I would say. Like, I don't know if you're going any bigger than what you've got. Like, it's,
yeah, you're gonna have to find kind of a role player type point guard. For sure. For sure.
One more. Oh, Johnny K. We don't want to skip over Johnny K. Johnny asking, how you guys feeling about pick and roll Max?
Pick and roll Max.
Yeah,
he's a good player. I mean, I think he's down in the – he was in the 200s. I got him, I think, up to in the 160s now. Very efficient. He's a good player. I don't think he's anything like we're going to, you know, running up and down about when it happens. He's kind of like, oh, Max Schulman went here, but he's an efficient player. So, like, you can always use efficiency. it's a staple.
Depending on the landing spot and the fit, right. I might be higher on him than you.
Yeah.
But that's why we do this. That's why we get out here and we chat about it. So, Johnny K, thanks for hopping in there. I like Schulga a little bit more than Mike. You got any quick thoughts on Schulga, Eric, before we move on?
No, I don't think he's the type of player that can kind of transcend his circumstance, right? Like, he's going to have to find his way into a system that highlights what he does best. So, I think where Mike's got him ranked is fair, kind of in a vacuum. You know, maybe you can slide him up or down depending on where he lands.
Yeah, totally agree there. Totally agree. Absolutely. Good stuff, y'all. Make sure you're hitting those like and subscribe buttons. We are less than 10 away from hitting that 1,000 mark, 1K on YouTube, which I think if that happens, they send you a platinum plaque, correct, for 1,000 subs?
Something like that.
That's
is that what happens?
Like that. I think it's like platinum with diamond encrusted.
Yeah, that's right.
I believe it's something like that. So help us
one
get
of those.
That.
It's a number with a comma.
It definitely will. There's a comma in it. That's right. That math be mathing. And we will get there if you do your part in the Green Screens Media universe and hit that subscribe button. But also while you're here, turn on those notification bells as well so you don't miss when we're live. I mean, and we're going to be going live all off season. We're not one of those shows that goes away and you don't hear from us again until, you know, January. No. We're here year round.
We out here.
Which we are out here in these streets talking college basketball. Hey, you know what, guys? We got a few more here. We got something in the live chat here before we go on. Let's stick with the comment section here. We got Joe coming back in. Out of all the new players, which guys are going to be okay with coming off the bench and who will not be okay with the backup role with Kentucky being so old this coming season? A lot of guys are expecting to play. Oh, yeah, to showcase to get to the
Okay, it's crazy, right? Kentucky goes from, like, being the youngest team always to being, like, one of the oldest teams ever right now.
AG Williams, veterans.
Butler, Carr, Brea, Kreisel, all entering year 5, if I'm not mistaken.
It's a new era.
Like, what is, I mean, okay, so here's a cool point here, Joe. And Jay, we went through this. We are huge Texas Longhorn fans based down here in Central Texas.
Yeah.
This happened Chris Beard's first year when we won the portal. It was like we got everybody. Like every week it was like, oh, my God, we got Timmy Allen. We got, you know, Trey Mitchell. We got Carr. We got – like it was like, okay, but like Bishop, like who – I think Trey Mitchell's going to start at the five, and now Bishop starting at the five. It's like, what the hell happened here? And it just didn't quite, like, they won a first-round game, but the ceiling of that team was Final Four.
Yeah.
And it took the next year to get someone like Serge Ibari Rice, who, like, a lot of college basketball fans, if you follow the sport, knew about him, but, like, kind of under-the-radar guy coming from New Mexico State. It was like, well, he was kind of like the linchpin to, like, setting the entire thing off, Trey Mitchell transferring out. Like, it really just depends. You're right, Joe. Like, it depends on who's going to be willing to take a backup role. When I look at it, I think Andrew Carr would be willing to take a backup role. I think he'd probably just want to be a winner. So I could see – I don't know that you want him coming off the bench because, you know, Mario Williams and Brandon Garrison front court doesn't sound as appealing. So Carr needs to probably start one of those two guys. Brea, I don't know that you want him coming off the bench. You kind of want the outside shooting to start your game. I think the question is Lamont Butler or Otega Owe is probably a guy that needs to come off the bench. I don't see him. We have him ranked 175. We talked about him the other day. I know that he shoots well from outside. I don't think he's a great shooter, though. He can have good seasons, right? It's I don't know. I just feel like he needs to accept a role.
If Bolt plays his cards right here, and again, it's like it's what I was talking about earlier in the show with the All-Star game, the All-Star team, where you're just picking and choosing.
Texas
and not
2-3 years ago.
Like, yeah, that's exactly what it was. And that's we're seeing a lot of that here. And we're going to see if Coach Pope can put that together. And, like, just because, again, you have the talent, and I'm sure there's a plan. Like, okay, you know, we know what Brea does well. We're going to sit him out here, catch and shoot, boom, nail it. We're going to set him right out here. We're going to run plays to rub him off with that. He's going to be able to catch it and shoot it. Like, he's going to be able to take advantage of these guys' strengths. But, I mean, think about it from this other perspective. What's another team that started – what's a team that started with zero players on it when their coach was hired, and he's putting together – now, you know, he has to put – Coach Cal out there in Arkansas is having to put together an entire roster. It's the same exact thing. There is no continuity. And that's so tough to win. You can put – again, experience matters, but experience playing together matters too. And this stuff is going to be tough. And Louisville's another one, right, Eric? Like, I mean, that's a team that's going to have the same sort of an issue.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much empty cupboard for the incoming coach to that one. And – Another instance where they've really restocked quite nicely, right? This is probably one of the more talented Louisville teams that we've seen in several years. And according to Johnny Kay, they might have the inside track for Davon Smith, right? So at least on the short list of names there, if they go out and add him, even if they don't, this is a unqualified success in terms of bringing talent onto this roster. But we're now several years into this transfer portal experiment, right? Like, you can't just take the most talented guys and cram them all together and expect them to be ready for a championship, right?
Like, yeah, but
they have to figure out how to play off each other. They have to get into the system.
Yeah, you hope the residuals from that too is what can help, you know, get your program off to the kickstart here. Allie Jack saying that Louisville started at zero. Yeah, Allie, they did. Rain Smith, 100%. Terrence Edwards, Ali Khalifa, they got Hepburn in there, Corin Johnson, Javon Hadley, like, these are all players now.
Right? Like, who comes off the bench there and is okay with it?
Same. Thank you. Very exact. Same situation. Like, who is coming off the bench here? What are they going to do? They're going to have to figure that out. Somebody's feelings are getting hurt, or somebody's already had a conversation about a role and what's to be expected. Because we've seen it. These coaches that can play seven guys and six of them play 32 minutes a night. And if you can do that and have success, but sooner or later you're going to have some sort of depth.
It's like North Carolina, Duke. But then you see it the other way. Alabama plays like 5 million guys. Auburn plays 5 million guys.
Yep.
But these guys want their stats because that equals NIL money, which we are seeing absolutely exploding off the charts. As you get a comment saying Duke starts fresh pretty much every year. I think Duke this year is going to be a little different because you're going to have all the freshmen playing. But then they're actually going to have experience, at least some experienced front court guys like Malik Brown, Mason Gillis, potentially coming off the bench. Maybe one of them starts. Maybe Gillis starts. But yeah, just like fans get so involved with like getting all 13 of the top 100 players on a transfer board or 13 of the top. It does not like Sir Jabari Rice 2 years ago was nowhere near anyone's radar as being this like, and damn near they should have made the Final Four. I mean, it happens every single year. Like these teams load up on talent. And, you know, you get five guys that play 35 minutes a game, and that's a team that could also make the Final Four. So these coaches have to be careful. But you can do it both ways, man. Like, you can absolutely – yeah, I mean, that team was – yeah. That's been a lot of them. I mean, they freaking Maxi came off the bench like at a different point. Like, so it's kind of crazy, right? So I don't know. If I'm a coach, I probably want to have the problem of too many guys, but then – that maybe creates locker room issues and things like that. It's interesting. I don't know if I want five of the top 25 or if I want 13 of the top 200. Like,
this is the world. This is what you're selling to those players. You're selling, hey, we're putting together a super team. You are the super team. You are on my super team that I want to be able to go in, and we're going to go win the whole thing. And it's because we're all so damn good, and we're going to find a way to win it because we're talented as hell.
Now, like, what happens when Lanier goes to Kentucky? What happens when Davon Smith goes to Louisville? That's just another guy. Like, you're not – those guys, you want to play 35 minutes.
It makes me feel like Smith's not going to Louisville is what it makes me feel like. Like, I don't – it makes me push them down a little bit. Not saying they're out of it, but look at this. I mean, we said those names, Smith, Edwards, Khalifa, Heffler, Johnson, Hadley. Like,
John L. Davis and Davon Smith.
Two of those guys aren't going to start?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. That'd be tough. That's a tough sell for me. But you know,
so sometimes these guys in the top like 500, like 400 to 500 are so important. They just take their role. Yeah. I'll just take my role. I'll take my 15 minutes and I'll be really good at it. You need some of those guys. So
it's just as important. Like all that's just like in like what used like high school recruiting used to get all the attention. You know, it's like who has the, and it still does, it's still important. And especially if you're talking like football, for instance, like even more so, especially down in these parts. But the players that don't get that do get signed that are not, you don't want to call them roster fillers, but they play specific roles on your team. That happens in every single sport, and it happens in college basketball just as much as any. So how many McDonald's, former McDonald's All-Americans are in the portal this year? It's double digits.
Dude, it's something more crazy. Than 10. It's like all the dudes that were in the McDonald's All-American game last year are
last
in the
offseason. It's more than 10.
That's what the transfer portal's done. That's why Cal's not in Kentucky anymore. The game has changed. It's older.
Yeah.
Now Kentucky's got like a bunch of dudes. Like they have 30 years of experience and they're potentially 30 years of experience and they're starting like six or seven guys. So I don't
know. Sheesh.
Well, our guy in the live chat, Brad, is not here for the Louisville talk. He is here for Big Blue Nation. Hear this clearly. UK, the real true blue blood, believe that and believe in the shield. No, I'm just kidding. And now that we're back to take our seat upon the throne back, and oh yeah, time to fierce again, and we are coming for UConn. Brad.
Say it with
you. You don't hear about UConn winning the transfer portal, bro.
Hey, well, you know, it's UConn until somebody knocks them off for me, honestly. I don't think that's how we –
they retained their three stud freshmen. They're going to be Jalen Stewart and Solomon Ball. Those guys are going to be really good next year. You add in one like piece like Terrace Reed. Diarra comes back, and you know you get the high school kid McNeely coming in. Now all of a sudden you're top five good, and you don't have all these issues in the role.
Like, are we just going to skip over Aiden Mahaney here too?
Oh yeah.
that little guy.
When we're about don't worry about him.
Guy. We definitely need to
worry about that guy for sure.
My bad, Aiden. Right. Shout out Aiden for sure. We've shown Aiden Mahaney plenty of love on this show.
He was a cover boy last show.
So. Yeah, exactly. It's just fun. We show Aiden love for sure. Brad, good to hear from you in the live chat. And let's keep that rolling. And love starting off the show so hot. We haven't even gotten into the recent commitments. Let's get to that section. The latest commits, hot off the press, fire on fire, if you will. And I'm taking the first one here. Number 21 on the big board, Javon Small, formerly out there in Stillwater, Oklahoma State, Cal Poke, 6'3", 195-pound guard, is now heading down the old country roads. Take me home to the place I belong. Mike. West Virginia, Mountain Mama. Take me home, country roads. Yes, sir.
Oh, my God. You went the whole, like, you did the whole verse.
The whole song. I've been holding that one in for a while now. And Small is going out there to those Mountain Mamas, those Mountaineers of West Virginia. 31 games last year for Oklahoma State. Hit 15 points, just under 5 boards, and just over 4 dimes. So 15, 4.5, and 4. Give me all of that. And basically, last year was a big step forward, I would say, for Small's game. Just continuing to develop. East Carolina, then to Oklahoma State, and now out to West Virginia. Combo guard with playmaking skills. You know, when you see a guy with the type of heavy minutes and usage that still has a slash line of like 44, 37, and 87 in Big 12 play, we're talking the toughest conference in college basketball last season and the season before that. There's no disputing that. This man is an absolute baller. But the one thing that I would say, if you're looking at Small's game, at 22% turnover rate. Yikes! We'll see if Coach Devers can knock that down a little bit. If he wants to win, if they want to win out there in Morgantown, he's going to have to clean that up. But the coach's son that's already out there, Tucker, going to link up here with Small here. Huge get for the Mountaineers, obviously. Javon Small linking up with Tucker Devers. Coach Devers out there. I mean, this is going to be tough for sure, but you know I was going to sing the whole song. Let's see. Let's hope Kentucky plays better than Jason's. Joe,
wow, hey,
Joe,
someone knocking you down a peg. Joe, normally they want to hear you sing more.
Hold on a second. Whoa.
We got an agitator behind him, too. Hey.
Joe, if you're new, let's welcome.
Singing's part of the game.
Congratulations and condolences on being a part of the Green Screens Media Universe and the One and Done family. It's good to have you here every once in a while. I would treat you or mistreat you, however you want to put it right there. Oh, Johnny K has said something about Madsen, too. My God, Madsen. Yeah.
The Madsen, oh, even got the Madsen.
We're playing all the hits tonight.
It's hey, like it's like my guy.
We take requests too. So if you want to get up in that comment section, just let them know. Jay might go off the dome. He might have to work it into his rotation, but he's absolutely taking requests.
I'll second the Madsen madness, man. Getting busy, man. I mean, you get Stojakovic. That's a pretty good last name to get. He's a pretty good shooter.
He shoots a little bit. Yeah.
BJ Omot, we really like him. We're high on him from North Dakota. Petritis beat out Texas to get him. Old man game, YMCA from Air Force. Really good player that can play make. So, yeah, he's got some players coming in. Jay spotted him for some wins last year. I think you know, he's got to get this thing going, right? Got to get this train going. So they did a lot better last year. I think 9-11 in conference play. That was a lot better than the previous 4 to 5 years. So, yeah, great first season for sure.
I definitely overshot my projection for what Mark Madsen would do out there as coach, but he's got it heading in the right direction. You know, that's the thing that you like to see out there. And I just don't know how, like.
Little Stanford.
How did Stanford not hire this guy? What are we doing?
I don't know.
It doesn't matter. Cal is working wonders out there. I mean, Cal is working. Madsen is working wonders out there in California for sure. Let's get down this graphic a little bit here. Elijah Hawkins, Eric, going to come to you for all of the news on him.
Yeah, Elijah Hawkins is coming in at number 48 on the big board, the former Golden Gopher. 5'11", 165. At a stature like that, I'm surprised that he is not suiting up for Coach Tang and K-State. Instead, he's going to the Big 12, but he is going to the wonderful land of Lubbock, Texas Tech. The new Red Raider comes in having played 33 games last year, about 33 minutes per game, roughly 10 points, 3.5 boards, 7.5 assists, poking out a steal and a half per game and shooting just above the Heinrich line, 36% from downtown. You know, we rewind a couple of off seasons when he was transferring into Minnesota from Howard, and there were some concerns that with his stature, you know, his game might not translate to the Big Ten, and it very clearly did. He had what many people listed as a fairly fledgling Gophers team right on the cusp of an NCAA tournament appearance last year. His assist rate, I mentioned 7.5 per game, is really what makes him unique, but he can also shoot pretty well. So, you know, there are a few different ways that he can contribute on the offensive side. Defensively, though, especially at this size, you know, it's a little bit of a cause for concern. It's nice that he can get you a steal or two on, you know, most games, but he's not going out there and locking anybody down, right? So, you know, Coach McCaslin, you know, I think even with the stature, even with the questions around his, you know, his ability to defend, is getting clearly much more of a consistent player from this position. So, you know, we've got to count this as a win for Texas Tech, and Elijah Hawkins is really going to have a chance to showcase his skill set in the Big 12.
So we'll slide on down here to number 88, TJ Bamba, the wing from Villanova, 6'5", 215, committing to Oregon, 33 games, 28 minutes, 10 points, just under 4 boards, 37% from 3, which and that Villanova offense last year, that feels like 20 points and like 7 rebounds and 50% from 3, but much higher on his game than obviously what he was able to show last year. He's a lethal scorer at Washington State a few years ago. So now he's coming to this guard-driven Altman offense, going to play with Jay's boy, Jackson Shellstad, probably slide right into the hole left by Jermaine Cuisenard. And I just think this is a very, very underrated pickup. So, we got TJ Bamba here sliding in number 88 on the board, headed over to Oregon. Speaking of the aforementioned Jay Heinrich, Desmond Claude, number 89, heads over to USC and the old must bus. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, it's big time get for the old must bus, who sort of wore out his welcome over there in Arkansas, I feel. And it was just one of those things that, you know, you just end up a really good coach, obviously took that program to heights it hadn't seen in a while. But Eric, I wanted to come to you here and actually get your take on Claude. Like, we were really high on USC last year going into the season, and that didn't work. I mean, Bronny's health, and then he just don't feel like he ever really played to his full potential. That was a big part of that. But Eric, I wanted to get your take here on Claude going from Xavier to USC.
Yeah, coming in from Xavier, ranking just one spot behind TJ Bamba, 89th overall on the big board. Good size for a guard, 6'6", 210. Played 34 games last year, about 34 minutes. He can really score the ball, 16.5 points. He can rebound pretty well, four rebounds per game. He can hand out a couple of dimes, 3 assists per game. And like you mentioned, Jay, like a very important addition for Coach Musselman here, right? Like, you know, we talked about how USC might be a little bit overhyped, but, you know, now with another week or so of clarity, additions like Claude coming in, like I feel like it's really starting to level off and kind of round out this roster overall. With Claude, you know, he can clearly score at a high level, right? At his size, he can rebound, he can create pretty well for his teammates. You know, if you had to find some questions overall, it's really whether or not he can be efficient as a scorer, right? He does lean on volume to get up to those scoring totals. So, you know, we'll see if that can scale, you know, and maintain or find a little more efficiency in his game. But ultimately, USC is, I mean, they're going to need a primary facilitator. You know, this move gives them another playmaker overall. So have to feel pretty good about him coming in to the Trojans. Mike, round us out here. We're going to jump down a little bit, 145, coming in from Evansville. Who's next up on the list?
Evansville. Oh, yeah, that's right. Pretty good mid-major year here for Ben Humrickhouse. I love that. I'm feeling it's going to make Jay's all-name team, 6'9", 220. This kid committing to Illinois, 24 games last year, 30 minutes a game, nearly 15 points, nearly 5 boards, 41% from 3. Now, you don't ever want to lose shooting. You know, Goody headed over to Indiana, but I feel like this guy's a more versatile option. You know, 97th percentile on ball screen action scoring. You absolutely love that. I mean, dude's got some serious range. got a little damas to his game. We love the, you know, the size on him, the versatility. Should fit really nicely if Underwood continues to kind of run this system that he's moved away from the Kofi Coburns and, you know, kind of playing a little bit smaller and faster here. I think this kid, Hum Rickhaus, is going to be a household name. Kind of like not a lot of people damas, right? The public, you know, not too familiar with the game, but he's pretty good coming over. So I feel like this kid's going to do the same.
It's interesting, right? Like, again, we're seeing some of these programs that are finding ways to get these talented players in, like Illinois. I'm not exactly thinking like, okay, and it's again Evansville, right? So is that going to translate? Is the game from last year at Evansville going to translate to night we'll in see, and night right? out? Like that's the chance that you're taking here. But some of those skills that he does have, that translates to the park, that translates to the YMCA gym, that translates to your mama's driveway. Like Hum Rickhaus has some of those skills. So I feel like he's going to be quite the contributor there for Illinois. Appreciate y'all hanging out with us. Make sure you hit the like and subscribe buttons up to 992, I believe. The producer's just saying in my ear, we are only 8 away now from that vaunted 1K mark and the double platinum diamond encrusted plaque that YouTube sends. Wait, it's not. Oh, producer saying it is not a double platinum diamond encrusted plaque for 1,000 subscribers. Help us get there anyway. Hit those buttons for us. Do your part. And hop in the live chat like our guy Brad has done a bunch tonight. And we absolutely love seeing it. And he loves him some Kentucky a lot more than Joe likes my singing. And it's understandable. It's understandable on multiple levels there. But Brad doubling down here on Kentucky, making all the haters eat crow. I love it, man. I love it. We love it when everybody comes in and plants their flag, lets us know who they think is going to win the whole thing. Come back. Win number 9? Is that happening, guys? I mean, as number 9 coming home to Kentucky? It's 9th title, I'm assuming, right, that we're going after there? Like, is it happening?
Number 9. Yeah, I don't know. Number 9. UK's won what, like somewhere in double digits, I think. So I don't. Number 9, maybe you clarify number 9 for us. I think Kentucky's up at what, 13 or something? Yeah, let us know.
A lot. With number 9, and either way, I've been saying.
Is he looking at the transfer portal big board? Maybe.
I've been high on this Popeye, higher than most probably. Mm-hmm. In general, of anybody, of any college basketball show that you watch, and I've been saying that he will win immediately, and I think he will win immediately. I don't know if it's deep run first year in the tournament immediately, but he will win at Kentucky. He definitely will. So, yeah, good stuff. Learn my old Kentucky home. Joe, do I need to – is that – we've got a request there. I might have some homework. Joe, tell
me. We got a homework. I got some homework.
Got homework.
A little bluegrass.
What's it do?
Maybe we can make that work. Who knows? Who knows? Man, we are blowing our numbers out of the water on YouTube, breaking our previous records for live viewers. And we appreciate you for hanging out with us. Make sure you hit those buttons as we see a couple more of you have up to 994 now. Woo, boys.
It's the climb.
Broskies and broski. It's the climb. We are on our way. That roller coaster is on the way up. Click, do your part and hit those buttons.
Let Drake laugh forward. Now, cry later. For that diss track tonight, those films finally dropping.
God, this has been, it's been so bad. Like, these guys, they don't need to be doing this shit. Like, it was so bad. I was saying the other day,
nobody's dying.
Kendrick was basically ripping a line from 10 Things I Hate About You, and then Drake posted the Julia Stiles picture on his IG story like 12 hours later. Like, come on,
look guys, look who's following all the details.
Hey, well, I'm just saying, yeah.
My guy's plugged in.
They don't need
he's over it, but he knows okay, every twist and turn.
I know all of the cheese man. Okay, I'm the all
D,
into
the
it.
The D.
The cheese man. That's right. What do we got? Oh, Dallas.
Dallas.
Hopping in there. Norchad or Pryor coming to Arkansas?
Norchad's going to St. John's. Kayshawn Pryor, I don't see him going to Arkansas. We don't have a firm grasp on kind of what his deal is. So, look, Arkansas is going to be linked to everyone, all the top guys, just all the top guys, right? It's like Kentucky. Like everyone at a certain point, like you look at the board and you're like, these guys have to be linked to Kentucky and Arkansas and Louisville. Like, they have clean slates, fresh NIL money to hand out. And yeah, Mitt saying having experience for once will pay off for Kentucky. All right, Mitt jumping in there. Appreciate you What's coming up, back, Mitt. Yeah, it'd be weird to have an experienced team.
Yeah, not something that – but again, like we've been hammering this all offseason. You have to have it to win now. You're not going to win. The days of the Fab Five freshmen coming in and running through college basketball is not happening. I'm not saying that you can't win with solid freshmen on your team getting meaningful minutes, but you have to have experience. And Brad coming back in and saying that's what got Kentucky as what he calls a dynasty in the first place, which are the veterans. And it's like, yeah, you got to have.
That used to be the thing for the longest time until Cal.
Yeah, like, you know what you haven't
in
really
Michigan,
heard?
Michigan, obviously.
You haven't really heard a lot of the phrase. You haven't really heard people talking about senior leadership anymore because it doesn't matter. None of that you might not have any seniors on your team anymore at this rate because you just recruited a bunch of guys that came in and you got like two guys.
Yeah, your seniors are 1 year in the system.
Yeah, they're 1 year in your system. So how, I mean, is that your senior leader? Like that's not the same anymore. Just not. We just got to get past that because it's never coming back. We're never going back to ladies and gents. And until these conferences break away from the NCAA and do their own thing, like it is what it is. Like there may be more regulations down the road, but right now, like this is what the college landscape looks like, and damn, we're happy to be here talking about it.
1900 transfer, Division I transfers.
Jesus, we're getting. I mean,
He might bring. He might bring junior leadership or sophomore leadership from his mid-major.
Yeah, gonna be looking for guys that were like 2 year guys at one JUCO to come in that had an experience of at least like 2 years in a program. Like that's legitimately something that's going to have to be looked at now. Like who can mesh? Who has shown they can mesh already? Who's done it? These are all things that we didn't have to talk about. We wouldn't have been talking about four or five years ago, but here we are. Here we are. Oh, Dallas not feeling what Kentucky's doing. Kentucky went out Dallas. And grabbed a team full of
coming
mid.
Out swinging.
Oh, mid? Calling him mid? Oh, mid. My gosh. Wow. Wow. The vitriol in the live chat is real. It. Oh, there he is. Nape C. Hustle. Yeah. Next season, a top 1,000 big board. Well, you're
part of it.
So, you, I mean, you hold the key, kind of my dude.
So, yeah, this is.
Well, hold on. It's going to hold the entire key to 1,000.
Everything the light touches belongs to you. So, I mean, Simba. Whatever you got to do. Whatever you got to do, my dude. Like, I mean, it's your thing. Do what you want to do. You know what I want to do? I want to get to these last-minute portal entrants, the guys that slipped their name into the portal last minute. I learned that all they had to do was communicate with a member of the athletic department before midnight Eastern in some written form or fashion. It could have been a text message, an email. It did not. None of the
paperwork that's had so 2024
submitted. They just had to have a timestamp that said before midnight Eastern. I am entering the portal.
It's all a lot of ADs getting that late text.
That late night text, like not slamming Red Bulls and coffee because they were coming in for sure. Let's start with Jameer Watkins.
Let me just block their number.
Well, I mean,
denied.
Didn't get it. Sorry,
new phone.
Didn't come through. Who did?
ADs all across the country just changing their phone number on Tuesday night.
Didn't tell anybody. Oh, sorry. Oh, no. Jameer Watkins.
I love it here.
Formerly of Florida State hopping in. This is a big time. This is a top 50 guy on the big board for sure. Versatility on both ends. And even at 37, I say he's a top 50 guy. You can make a case for him being a top 30, top 25 guy probably. There's not many guys at 6'7", 210 that do what he do on the court. That
make it do
what
he
does. Do what it do, baby. Shoot it, handle, pass it, defend, get boards, get in the passing lanes, active hands, all those things that you want from a guy I mean, somebody's going to get really lucky with Watkins. And again, with the right fit, we might be talking about Watkins as a guy that's like in All-American conversations for me at the end of next season. If he finds the right fit and gets the right usage and the right team on a winning team, Watkins can be somebody that by the end of next year, big time on the national radar for me. Heading over to Eric now, somebody that we talked about a little bit in our DFS stuff come tournament time, big man from Samford hopping in.
Yeah, we talked about him in our DFS coverage. We talked about him when we were filling out brackets. Like, I was filling out my brackets, like mostly everybody else in the country had Samford pulling the upset on Kentucky. A lot of that wasn't a block shot. With a chore, the number 74 on the big board. Kentucky on the brain with this comment section. A chore, 6'9", 225-pound forward. He played 33 games for Samford. Gave him about 23 minutes, 16 points, 6 boards, and nearly 2 blocks per game while also shooting 43% from range. Jay, we talked about it earlier. We might have to up the Heinrich line here, right? So 43% is absolutely insane from a forward. The country got to see him battle Dickinson in that first round NCAA tournament game, and he's a two-way big, which is a coveted commodity in today's world, right? So on offense, he can stretch the floor. Like I mentioned, he's getting out behind the arc. He's shooting 43%. On defense, he can defend the rim, again, nearly 2 blocks per game. And the crazy thing about all of this is he's still incredibly raw, right? Like, you get him into an established program with a coach that can maximize the talent of the kids on his roster, and the sky is the limit for a chore. So love the fact that he is out there and seeing where he can land in the portal.
Yeah.
And it looks like we've got a couple of comments here about whether or not there is room for a chore on the aforementioned Kentucky Wildcats.
No. Williams, Carr, Garrison, like, where are the minutes? Like, I don't think there's room for him there. Yeah. I mean, if you're just stock, like, you can't just go, you can't just stockpile these guys for the sake of doing it. Maybe you can. We said the same thing about Chris Beard, and then he did it.
He's doing it right now.
Yeah, he's doing it again. Like, maybe you can. I don't feel like that's, like, Achor looks at that and is like, oh, that's where I need to be. That's going to maximize my potential.
Right.
So that's a tough sell for me. But, yeah.
Don't right, like player of the year candidate at Samford, or do you in the conference, or do you want to go to Kentucky and play 15 to 18 minutes?
I was going to say 22 minutes max. Yeah, right? It's like if we're what's your goal? What's your goal here? Can you get a bag?
Garrison's going to transfer the next year if he ain't playing any minutes. I mean, I guess you just give yourself options, and that's, you take all. I think you have to have, like, role players, man. Like, you got to have just guys willing to like, Kassam Diarra, like, just Samson Johnson, just somebody to come in there and do and just maximize the little guys. Things, right? Like, lunch pail type dudes.
Junkyard dog. Speaking of dog, Dallas and Kentucky starting point guards averaging Shaq free throws percentage at line. Yeah, I mean, it is what it is.
A little room for improvement.
That's all right, though. That's all right, though. Brad still showing all the love for Kentucky, for sure. And then our guy, Goat Richardson, making sure. Brad, we hear you, man. We hear you. We do hear you. Keep it coming, though.
Keep it coming, though.
We love to hear it. Goat Richardson. Thanks for hopping in there. Appreciate that, for sure. Mike, keep it going. Cam Christie.
Yeah, Cam Christie hopping in here, the wing from Minnesota, 6'6", 190, brother of NBA player Mad Max Christie, 33 games, 30 minutes per game, 11 points, 4 boards, 2 assists, 39% from 3, one of the best freshman wings in the country last year, obviously a weapon from 3. We'll see kind of what he does here, but if he sticks in the transfer portal, he'll be a fine get and add some scoring punch and outside shooting to whatever team he goes. Plus, the other parts of his game still developing. Feel like he could be a better, continue to be good at facilitating, getting better on the defensive end. So there's just so much upside to his game here, for sure. So Cam Christie, coming through at number 96. Trevon Brazil stands here at 129 as a late entry to the transfer portal. Eric, kind of a weird ride, basically throughout his career, man. What say you on him?
Yeah, a bit of a roller coaster coming out of the Arkansas program, and that this will not be his first time transferring. He transferred in from Missouri previously, and there was a lot of hype around him, you know, heading into the Arkansas squad, and you know, it felt like he was about to break out his sophomore year, and then boom, that injury popped up, right? You know, got back to a solid role last year, you know, but the upside was capped because Arkansas plays a million guys, right? So, you know, there are just times where, like, you know, you see him out on the court, and you can absolutely see that, like, NBA level upside. Like, he can legitimately be dominant, you know, all the time when he's out there playing. But then, you know, other times you feel like he just kind of disappears, right? Like, the inconsistency is a question mark. The health is a question mark. So, kind of hedging a little bit, putting him in at 129, but the upside here is very, very high if it all comes together for Brazil.
Yeah, love his game, man. Love following him here. And our last guy here before we get to checking out is number 135, and that's Sion James, the wing from Tulane. I love this guy. Watched a lot of him last year. 37 minutes, 14 points, 5 boards, nearly 3 assists, a steal and a half, 38% from 3. I love his game. I love the experience he's going to bring to a team. I mean, he played a massive – I mean, even as a freshman, he played a really, really good role, solid role, 23 minutes almost a game. And the last 3 years, he's just been playing, logging heavy, heavy minutes in Tulane. You know, for all its faults, you know, he's been pretty solid in the AAC. So he can just do so much for you on both ends. Honestly, if he lands in the right spot, I could see him being like this X-factor type for a school come February, March for somebody for sure. So Sion James – closing us out on the last minute entrance into the transfer portal.
No more entrance, right?
There's a way, but
no, I feel like, you know, well, I feel like there's going to be a couple more that it's just because it sometimes it takes a little bit to process and they're not putting it all out there. And
yeah,
there'll be a couple more, and you know who will be around to talk about it? Your broskies in basketball right here. On One and Done. Johnny, one last comment right there in the live chat. Where's Dylan Mitchell going to go? One of your favorite athletes in the portal. Yeah, very, you know, very familiar with Dylan Mitchell's game, obviously, down here. Took a visit to Miami, right, guys? And he's a Tampa guy, Tampa native. So, yeah, Miami, I mean, you're hearing what we're hearing at that point right now. I don't know where he's going to end up, but feel like that might be a fit for him. Might be looking to get a little closer to home. Joe's asking for Tierra over there on the board. Make sure you get over to DrRoto.com and check out that big board. Joe, just for you though, I'm going to tell you that he's at number 120 something. Get over to DrRoto.com and find that last number out there for
it's free.
Sure. Yeah,
it's free.
What's not to like about it? If it's free, it's give free. Me three for sure.
Where LeBron going?
Todd. Wherever Bronny goes.
Todd coming in clutch. Oh right there my god! We love seeing it. We love seeing it, Todd. Yeah, good luck. Good luck predicting that one.
He ain't going anywhere. Trey Young's coming to LA. So.
Ooh, you heard it here first.
Clutch Sports.
Probably not first, but you heard it here. And Trey Young going out to L.A., according to our guy, El Capitan himself. The captain of Green Screens Media, that is Mr. Mike Holland, the OG Money Mike. Follow him on Twitter at MCHolland34. And then, of course, our guy pushing the buttons tonight, doing the graphics, our guy that does a little bit of everything, number one in your hearts, Eric the Blue. At Fantasy Nav in those Twitter streets. My name is Jay Heinrich, the sometimes humble host of this grand show, and I happen to be the conductor of the aforementioned Green Screens Media Train. We're going to be back this Sunday with more Portal Talk. Thanks to RL, Napsey Hustle, Joe, Johnny K, Brad, Ali Jack, Brad P, Mitt, Dallas H, Ali Jack again in there. Typed twice, Ali. Double shout out there. Trey Knight, Goat Richardson and Todd coming in. Todd, we see you're a big Kentucky fan. What you think about him, Todd? We talk so much Kentucky on this show tonight. Go back and watch it. Go back from the jump. We were talking Kentucky from Jump Street here tonight, a big-time Kentucky show. And we appreciate that the live chat was on fire tonight. A lot of Kentucky talk, a lot of talk across the country. Make sure you hit those like and subscribe buttons. Make sure you turn on those notification bells. We are up to 997. 997, y'all are doing your part.
Who's going to be the one? One of y'all watching right now can push us over.
If you are it, if you're 1K, let us know. Shout us out on Twitter, at OneAndDoneCBB is the show page. We're over 100, we're over 1,000 followers over there on X, at OneAndDoneCBB, at OneAndDone_CBB on TikTok. we're working on that, guys. Anyway,
there's a little story behind that.
A little story behind the underscore there, but that's neither here nor there. But we appreciate y'all hanging out with us. Tell somebody you love them. Take care of yourself. But most importantly, ladies and gents, broskies and brosquettes, let's go out there and let's get this bread.
Thanks for stopping by the office. Get your fantasy prescription by subscribing to the channel and checking out drroto.com. And until the next visit, be well and take care.